Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Erevin Daf Kuf Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur six lines from the top of Daf Kuf Dalid. We will be beginning with the Mishnah. Before we begin the Mishnah, we glance at the side of the Gemara. We have a Nosei, a topic heading, where we have written Pizur Melach al Mishtach Halicha, the spreading out of salt on a surface that one would walk on, Kedei Shelo Yachlik, so as to prevent slippage. We will discuss the issue concerning Bamikdosh and Bamedina. In fact, the last few Dapim presented Mishnayos that dealt with activities that were allowed in the Beis HaMikdash and not allowed outside the Beis HaMikdash. In the Mishnayos in the last couple of Dapim, we saw references to activities that would be kan v'kan osur, in both places osur, but in this Mishnah that expression won't appear. So before we actually begin the Mishnah, let us glance at illustration 102 that you see on page 228. You see a side view of the Mizbeach, the altar that stood in the courtyard in the Azor of the Beis HaMikdash. You see the ramp leading up, and you see an illustration of salt scattered on the ramp so as to prevent slippage, especially in a situation where, as Rashi says, when it was raining and the Kohanim nevertheless were doing Avoda, this would prevent them from slipping. The Mishnah, Boizkin Melach al Gabi Kevesh. Kevesh is the ramp, and Boizkin is a reference to scattering and crushing salt on the Kevesh, the ramp leading up to the Mizbeach, B'shvil Shelo Yachliku, so as to prevent slippage. Umimalin, this is another halacha, and we look at illustration 103. You see a well with a pail and a pulley set up in order to draw the water. So the Mishnah tells us, Umimalin mibor hagola, umibor hagodol ba galgal b'shabbos, that in the Beis HaMikdash you have these two wells that water could be drawn from them using a pulley situation. A galgal is a wheel, a pulley situation. And this can be done in the Mikdash, but not outside the Beis HaMikdash. U'mibe'er hakar b'yom tov. This will be explained later in the Gemara, but we point out that this drawing of water from the Be'er Hakar is on Yom Tov and not on Shabbos. Later we'll see that this Be'er Hakar was not in the Beis HaMikdash. It was something special, but outside the Beis HaMikdash. We continue now in the Gemara, where a stira is presented. Rami le Rav Ika mi Pashrunya le Rava. Pashrunya is the name of a place. So Rav Ika from Pashrunya raised a stira in the presence of Rava. Tanan, on the one hand, we have our Mishnah that says, Boiskin melech al gabi akevesh b'shvil shelo yachliku. Kevesh was the ramp leading them up to the Mizbeach. So the Mishnah tells us you can crush and scatter salt on the Kevesh, which basically means b'mikdosh in b'medino lo. Something is allowed only in the Beis HaMikdash, but not outside. V'ramini, and yet we see a contrary source. Chotzer, shenistkalkul b'meimei geshamim, a courtyard, a private courtyard that became muddy through rainwater. Mevi teven umirade bo. One can bring straw and spread it out, similar to what we described with regard to the salt. But here you see that this is allowed outside the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara answers, shiny teven, the case of straw is different. Delo mevatil lei. He doesn't abandon it there. In other words, he scatters it now. He can walk on it, but later he'll gather it for animal feed or for using in making cement. Rashi points out, Delo mevatil lei, he doesn't leave it there permanently. Veleko mishum ashvi gumos. And as a result of that, there isn't the problem of filling in holes. The melachu b'shabbos dave kebinyan, ashvi gumos is smoothing out ground, is a melacha. It's a forbidden activity with regard to Shabbos because it is like construction. So with regard to the straw, though, this doesn't apply. The midi dechaz of the meichel behema or the tit hachoma, something that's fit for animal feed or for cement, cementing walls. Lo mevatil lehosam. He won't abandon it there. He won't leave it there permanently. Avol melach. However, when it comes to salt, mishen nidras beregel. After people trample on salt, lo chazi. It's not fit. Umistamo mevatil le uvamedin osir. And most likely he'll leave it there. And therefore, outside the Beis HaMikdash, this will be Osir. The Gemara now focuses on the Mizbeach, and the ramp, and the scattering of the salt. Amalei, there's a question that lasts a few lines. Amalei Rav Acha Brei de Rava le Rav Ashi. Hai Melach Hechi Domi. What are the circumstances surrounding the salt on the Kevesh? E de Mevatle, if he leaves it there, ka Moisif Abinyan. He is then adding to the pre-established dimensions of the structure of the Beis HaMikdash and its vessels. And as such, one is not allowed to do that. One can't add. And by if you were to mevatel the salt, abandon the salt there, leave it there permanently, you in effect would be adding to the structure of the ramp of the Mizbeach, and that would be forbidden even during a weekday. Ve'i delo ko mevatle, and if he doesn't plan to abandon it there and leave it there, well, ko havio chatzitza. When the Kohen is walking up the ramp, he is then not walking directly on the ramp. He is walking on the salt, and the salt is an interposition between his feet and the ramp, and he has the requirement in Avodas Beis HaMikdash, in the service of the Beis HaMikdash, there shall be no interposition between the feet, and in fact the Kohanim walked barefoot in the Beis HaMikdash. There shall be no blockage or interposition between them. So if he is not mevatel the salt, so then the salt doesn't become a part of the Mizbeach, and he in effect is then walking on a foreign substance. So the Gemara answers number one, but there are a couple stages in before we get to the answers. This is one, and later we'll see a number two. B'hoilochas evorim lekevesh dalav avodahi. The salt was scattered during the activity of bringing the limbs of the sacrifices up to the top of the Mizbeach. The assumption right now is that the sprinkling of the blood is considered the avoda. That's the main sacrificial activity. However, the bringing of the limbs up to the Mizbeach is thought right now to be a non-activity, and as such, it's not considered an avoda. An avoda is a formal classification of sacrificial activity, and since it's not classified as an avoda, there is no problem of chatzitza. So this answer is saying that basically he's not mevatel the salt there. However, as far as the chatzitza problem, that's not a problem because this is not classified as an official sacrificial act. The Gemara asks, "Velo, is that so? That holachas averim, the carrying of the limbs up to the top of the mizbeach for being thrown into the fire, is not considered an avoda of oksiv? We have a pasuk that says, "V'hikriv hakoyin es hakoyil v'ktir hamizbecha," and from this we learn the omar mar. And it has been taught regarding this, Zu halacha sevarim lekevesh. This is a reference to the act of bringing the limbs to the top of the Mizbeach by carrying them on the ramp. And from this pasuk we learn, being that a Kohen must do it and a non-Kohen is not fit for doing this, this then must be classified as an avoida. So how can you say before that the scattering of the salt was in anticipation of someone carrying the limbs on the ramp and to prevent his slipping, and no problem, because it's not avoda, but it is an avoda. Elo emo, rather say, v'hoilochas eitzim l'marocha, the lav avoda hi. The scattering of the salt referred to in the Mishnah was scattering the salt in anticipation of the walking on the ramp for carrying the woods that serves as fuel for the fire on the Mizbeach. That is not an avoda. The act of walking with the wood is not an avoda. Hence, there is no chatzitza problem. Before we continue in the Gemara, we have a nosei mivneh on the side, where you see a diamond is featured, and in our Gemara you'll see an aleph and a beis. These are shlavim, these are stages, b'divrei rava b'inyan redias teven al ritzbas chotzer sheniskalka b'shamim. We'll be talking about that which was mentioned at the very beginning of the Gemara, the smoothing out of straw scattered over the floor of a private courtyard. The Gemara. Dorash Rava. Chotzer sheniskalkula b'meimei gishamim. A private courtyard that became muddy because of the rain. Mevi teven umrade ba. The owner is entitled to bring straw. And of course we're talking on Shabbos. Can bring straw and spread it out on the yard floor. And in understanding Rava at this point, he's saying you can do this spreading out any way you like. Omar Le, Rav Popo, Le Rava, V'hotanya. Rav Popo raises a question from the following brisa. Kishum Rade, when he spreads out the straw, Eno Mrade, Lo Besal, V'lo Bekupa, Elo Beshule Kupa. He is not to use a basket nor a barrel, which is the normal way of smoothing out the straw by rolling over it a barrel or a basket. Ella b'shulei kupa. The only thing you're allowed to use is the bottom of a box or of a basket or that broke. Rashi says shulei a kupa shenishtabra v'nisharu hashulaim, where a kupa, a box that he ordinarily would use, but it broke, and he has only the bottom left, and he's using that. Well, that's what the source says, and that would be against Rava, because Rava suggested that any method can be used for smoothing out the straw. Hodar oikim Rava amora ole vidarsh. And Rava, after being challenged by Rav Papa's question, set up an amora. Amora is someone who would say over to the public that which the rabbi was teaching. He was like the human PA system. So Rava then set up his amora and vidarsh and taught. Dvorim shamati lefnechem tos hein biodi. This is a marvelous expression that you see from time to time in the Shas, and you find it actually by Rava, similar expressions that he says, that he corrects himself. So you see, he admits to a mistake and then says what ought to be. He says, that which I said to you had in the past was a mistake. Bram, but in truth, kach omru. Thusly, they said, mishum Rebbe Elazar. The following was said in the name of Rebbe Elazar. Keshehu merade, einu merade, lo basal v'lo bekupa, elo b'shulei kupa. When he smooths out the straw, he's not to use a basket nor a box, but rather the bottom of a box, the bottom which remained after the box broke. Memalin mibor hagola. Ula iklo lebei Rav Menashe. Ula visited the home of Rav Menashe, also ahu gavra, toraf abava. Some man came and knocked on the door. In other words, he took his finger knuckles and knocked, as people generally do, knock on the door in order to announce his arrival. So you have this person knocking on the door, Omar, and Ula reacted and said, "Man hai lischil gufe de komochil le l'shabato." Who is this that is mechalal Shabbos by making noise, by producing sound? He curses him here. He says his body should be desecrated measure for measure. Since he is desecrating the Shabbos, his body should be desecrated. So you could see that Ula is reacting to the to the noise that this person is producing by knocking on the door. Amar le Rava. Rava responds, Lo osro ela kol shel shir. The chilul Shabbos that is referred to in producing sound, that has to do with someone who produces musical sounds. Rashi says, "B'kol shel shir hanishma ke'ein shir b'ne'ima u'v'nachas," a type of methodical or rhythmic noise. One who does that on Shabbos, so that is prohibited. There's a rabbinic prohibition in producing rhythmic sounds. However, a mere knocking on the door, just producing a sound, is not something that is prohibited. As we go on in the Gemara, we will encounter triangles. You can see on the side of the Gemara, the nosei that we're dealing with is Hashmas Koil B'Shabbos, the producing of sound on Shabbos. And under the Mivneh heading, we see a triangle, three kushios al rabo, shomar lo osu elo koil shel shir. We're going to raise three questions on that which Rabbo teaches, that he says that with regard to sound production, the only kind of sound that is restricted is rhythmic, melodious sound, as opposed to simple sound production of any kind, which, according to Rabbo, that is not prohibited. So, well, let's see. Esve Abaye. Abaye raises an objection from the following source. Before we learn the source, let's just take a look at diagrams 104 and 105. The truth is that 105 is the one that is going to be of interest to us, but 104 shows you an action of siphoning, and in the Gemara that's called dupi. And 105 shows you a vessel that's filled with water. It has holes in it, looks like a shower head, but it's an independent vessel. And the narrow top produces a type of vacuum, but when you release it, water will stream out, and the drops of water would then hit an inverted bowl, producing a noise, producing sound. So that's what is featured in this source. And we'll see then how this is raised as a question. Esve Abaye, Malin Bidupi, that's your siphoning, Umatifin Merak L'Choyle B'Shabbos, and that's that showerhead looking thing, L'Choyle In L'Bori Lo, this heter of Matifin Merak is an allowance we make for someone who is infirmed, but not for someone who is healthy. Hechidomi, what are the circumstances? Lav Dinim, is it not so that we're talking about a sick individual who is currently sleeping? Nim is absorbed in sleep. The kaboy delisar, and we need to arouse him. And Rashi explains that since he's sick, we don't want to physically shake him; it might cause him shock. But rather, through production of sound, that will arouse him. Shmamino, alode kola osir. You see that if it wasn't for the fact that he's sick, you wouldn't be allowed to do this Merak on Shabbos. And what is it in effect? It's a sound to arouse someone. The sound that you would produce to arouse someone is obviously not something melodic, because a melodic noise has the opposite effect of calming and causing a sleep to set upon such a person. So that we're talking about a simple, like the knocking on the door type sound, the mere production of noise, and that is otherwise, if not for the sick person, would be usur. That's a kashon rabo. Loi, so the Gemara rejects it and says that's not the pshat, that's not the explanation. The tir, we're talking about a person who is awake. Tir means awake. The kaboy, the lenim, and he needs to go to sleep. The mishtama ki kola dizimzumi. This merak produces some type of rhythmic or melodious sound that will enable him to go to sleep. So kola de zimzumi means something that's melodious. That is prohibited on Shabbos, other than in the case of the sick or infirmed individual. But as far as mere production of random sound, that's okay. Esve, another kasha on Rabbah. Hameshamer peyroisov, that they, if it was someone who is guarding his fruits so as to keep the birds away, udlov, that they hachayudlov, another type of vegetation, to keep animals away. Mishamer kedaga b'Shabbos, he can serve in that capacity on Shabbos as a watchman, as a guard. Ubuvad shelo yisapek v'letapech v'lirakeid kederach shein oisin b'chol, provided he doesn't do these actions. Yisapek is to clap hands to frighten away the birds, and that's an yitapeach. That's to bang your chest, also producing a sound that would frighten away these animals. And yirakeid has to do with the dancing around to make a noise, to all of this to frighten the birds. So all of these things are not allowed to be done, which are things that otherwise are done during the weekdays. My time. Why is there a prohibition of, let's say, clapping one's hands? Is it not lav de komoilid kola? V'chol alodi kola osir, is it not because he is producing a sound, a random sound, and any such sound is forbidden to produce on Shabbos, even if it's not melodious, or rhythmic? And hence a question on Rabbah. Omar Rav Acha Bar Yankiv, not true. That's not the pshat. The reason we don't want you to engage in making noises to frighten off birds is because we're afraid that will lead to something else. Gzeirah shemo itol tsror. We're afraid that you'll take a stone and throw it into a reshus harabim in order to frighten off the birds. And transferring the location or dalet amos in reshus harabim, whatever the case may be, the movement of the object from one domain to another, or the four amos in reshus harabim, that is what we are afraid of. But we're not afraid, we're not bothered by the actual production of sound per se. It's rather this fear of coming to something else. And that something would be characteristic of someone who's watching, but coming to knock on the door, that would not be a problem, because that's not going to lead to something else. So as far as Rabbo is concerned, he answers the question. He is showing us that the clapping of hands here, the objection to that was not a function of simple random sound that's prohibited, but rather it's a fear of coming to doing something worse, the throwing of the rock. The Elah question. The Elah Haldi Amar Rav Yehuda. Now we have a double underline which introduces Memros of Rav Yehuda as we go on in the Gemara. And the bow tie will be highlighting the expression Noshim Misachakos, two examples of games that people used to play. So, what about the following? Hold on, Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav, Noshim Hamesachakos Begoizim Osir. Women or girls who play on Shabbos with Egozim are nuts. They're spherical. They roll. It was a game involving the rolling of nuts. And it says that game is osir to play on Shabbos. My time. Why is it osir? Lav dekom moilid kola, the chol alode kola osir. Is it not because the nuts in this game would bang one onto the other, producing sound, and it's osir to produce sound even if it's not, if it's non-rhythmic or non-melodious? Question on Rabbah. Loi, that's not the case. Dilma, the problem with this game is these nuts have to roll on a smooth surface. And if you were going to play this game on Shabbos and discover that the surface, that the floor, the ground is not smooth, Dilma osila shvuya gumos, you might come to smooth out the holes in order to make the game effective. And smoothing out holes on the floor on Shabbos is, as we said earlier, something prohibited. Dilo te mahochi, if you don't use this explanation, haldam Rav Yehuda, that which Rav Yehuda teaches, noshim misachakos betapuchim osur. This is a game, assuming that tapuchim means apples, and that's the common translation, was a game involving rolling of apples. Well, that game is also usher to play on Shabbos. Hosa mayo lodi kola ika, the apples banging into one another don't produce any noise. So what could the objection be? If it's sound making, that wouldn't be the basis of an objection to the apple game. Elo Dilma Osi Lashvi Gumos. But rather, the objection is the problem of the need for a smooth surface, and you might come to Ashvi Gumos to smooth out the holes in the ground. So at this point in the Gemara, we don't see any evidence to a prohibition of simple Elodi Kola, and hence Rabbah's teaching that the only objection with regard to noise production on Shabbos is musical or rhythmic or melodic sounds. That is prohibited, but simple random sound production, like knocking on the door, would be okay. Tanan, once again, another challenge. We made a slight error earlier when we said there were three questions. Rather, there are four questions that appear. The source is from our Mishnah, Memalin Mibor HaGoyla U'Mibor HaGodol B'Galgal B'Shabbos. And this Mishnah was teaching about the drawing of water using a pulley system on Shabbos, but only in the Beis HaMikdash, B'Mikdash in B'Medina Lo, but not outside the Beis HaMikdash. My time off. Why is there an objection? Lav Mishum De'olo De'kola V'Alser. Is it not because the pulley, the wheel, and the pulley apparatus produces a noise? Lo, that's not the problem. But rather, the reason it's also B'Medina is Gezeiro Shemo Yimale L'Ginosu L'Churbasu. Rashi explains, since it's easy to draw water, so because of that ease, people will forget themselves and draw the water and end up using it to water their fields. Water their fields or their ruins. Amemar shara lemimla begilgala bemechuza. Amemar allowed the townspeople of Mechuza to draw water from a well using a pulley. Omar, and he reasoned, my time agozu Rabbanon, what was the reason that Rabbanon prohibited the use of a pulley system in drawing water? Shemo yemali leginos ulchubosa, because of the fear of people drawing water and using it for watering their fields and their ruins. Well, hacha, here in Mechuza, lo gino ika velo churba ika. None of those reasons apply, so there's no reason to prohibit the use of the water drawing with the pulley apparatus. However, the story goes on. Kevan de kochoza de kot toru ba kisna. We are at the top of Omid Beis. Amemar noticed that people were using that water for soaking their flax. Now Rashi says at the top, shorin bo pishton b'chol. They would soak their flax during the weekday. So it seems to me that what was taking place there is they were drawing water on Shabbos for the sake of soaking their flax in it during the weekday. But that's not, one is not allowed to draw water on Shabbos for a weekday activity. So upon seeing this, Asar Lehu, Amemar forbade their using the pulley well apparatus. Umi Be'er Hakar. The Mishnah had taught that one is their mimalin, we can draw water from the different, we mentioned different kinds of wells in the Beis HaMikdash, and at the end of the Mishnah it said, Umi Be'er Hakar B'Yomtov. B'Yomtov, and we pointed out, B'Yomtov not on Shabbos, and we also point out this is talking about something outside the Beis HaMikdash. My Be'er Hakar, what does that mean? One thing it does not mean is cold water. So don't make any mistake that if you know in Hebrew the word kar means cold, that's not the pshat, that's not the explanation over here. So what is it? So the Gemara gives us, we'll say, two stages in establishing what Be'er HaKar is. Omar Shmuel bore a pit of water, Shehikru Oleha Dvorim, the hi tiruha. The word hikru is going to, at this point, serve as the basis of the word hakar. What is meant by that? So let's take a look at the Rashi at the top line. Shehikru oleo dvorim kisholim in agolim. When the Jews returned from the exile after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, hutzruhu lo, they needed this well. They needed water, and they needed this well. And we're talking about a particular well. Kibbutz Kamon, as the Gemara will explain later. V'nimnu v'tirua ubitlu takonas ashvus mimeno l'malos v'nabagagal. And there was a vote taken, and they determined, they undid the old rabbinic ruling that forbids using a pulley system outside the Beis HaMikdash for drawing water. However, v'lo yitiru elo oisa levado. This is important to emphasize. There was only one well that they were matir. Now, at this point in our explanation, it sounds like this well was part of all the other wells as far as rabbinic prohibition, and when they returned from the exile, they took a vote and undid the old rabbinic prohibition that applied to all non-Beis HaMikdash pulley wells. Rashi goes on and says, Hikru equals Lashon Kriya, a pronouncement, a declaration. And they brought proofs to their needs that they have the strength to undo a rabbinic ruling because of their pressing circumstances. As we'll see later in the Gemara, the story will change a little bit, but for right now, that's a rather dramatic thing to do, to undo an older, an ancient rabbinic ruling, something that one could not possibly imagine taking place today. We have to respect rabbinic rulings with the utmost severity, utmost sanctity possible, and not to tamper with them one iota. But this seems to have taken place at that time, but only with regard to one particular pit or well. The Gemara goes on with a question. The question is focused on this explanation of Hakar. The source says, Lo kol haboros hakoros itiru elazu bilvad. They weren't matir all the boros hakoros, only one. Ve'i amris shikru dvorim oleho. If you're going to explain that Bor Hakar was a particular well over which they made a declaration, a proclamation, they called out a ruling. My zu bilvad. What is meant by the source that says, well, all the other boros hakoros were not allowed except for this one? But if hakar means a proclamation regarding one specific well, so how can the source make reference to multiple wells and call them hakoros? There was no proclamation made regarding all the other wells. Elo Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok. Now he changes to a new pshat that hakar means be'er mayim chayim, a well of live spring, that under in the depth of this well there was live spring water running. So there are many live springs that exist. The word hakar, Rashi explains, comes from Lashon Mokor. Mokor means a source. So it's a well that has a source of a live spring source of water. So that the source would the Tanaic source now reads, not all live spring wells were they matir, except with the exception of one. And the Gemara now shows that the word hakar is used in this context of a live spring. Shnemar kehokir bayir meimeha kein hekeira ra'asa. So in this pasuk you see a reference to a bayir as a well or a spring with water in it, and the word hokir is like the word bor hakar that we had in the Mishnah. Gufa, a Tanaic source now that we had quoted just parenthetically before. We quoted the heart, not parenthetically. Quoted as the question here. It's quoted in its full context. The source says, "Lo kol haboros hakoros hitiru elazu bilvad." They weren't matir when they came back from the exile. All live spring pulley arrangement boros, except for this one. There was one. Where it was located, the Gemara doesn't tell us geographically where it was located, but there was one particular live spring pulley bar that they allowed. When the Bnei HaGolah, when the exiles, or we call them the returnees, came back, they camped around it. Unavim shebeneim hitiru lohen, and the prophets that were amongst them, and Rashi points out who the prophets were. The Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, they are in the Trei Asar. They were there, and they were matir this bor. Velo heim hitiru elo minug avoysom bidehem. It's not that they undid some type of rabbinic ruling, but rather there was a tradition that they had amongst them that this bor is allowed. My understanding is that when the rabbis introduced their rabbinic prohibition against using pulley wells, they kept one bor out of that prohibition. So there's nothing that's being undone. All that took place was that they when they camped around this particular well, they recounted that this well was not included in the original rabbinic prohibition. The Mishnah. Before we continue with the Mishnah, we glance at the side under our Nosei Mivneh heading. We've written Hoitzos Sheretz Min HaMikdosh B'Shabbos. We're going to talk about the removal of a dead creature. Now, Sheretz, that we refer to here, is one of eight types of creatures that when they are dead, they communicate Tumah upon contact. That's Tumas Mago, and the Torah lists eight kind of shrotzim that are capable of doing this. If you want to use a simple example, you could say a dead mouse that's found in the Beis HaMikdash, and we want to remove it, and it's on Shabbos. Now, in general, we're dealing with a problem that has to do with Tiltul Muksus. There's a prohibition of moving around things that have no use on Shabbos, and a dead mouse is not a vessel, and it's not food, hence it has no Shabbos value. It's an example of pure muktzah. So we're going to discuss in this sukkah, number one, eich motziim, how is it removed, and mei eifo motziim, from what part of the Beis HaMikdash do we remove it? These diamonds will appear later in the Gemara, and they're there to connect different points with one another. The Mishnah. Sheretz shenimtso b'mikdosh, kohen motzio behemaino. The kohen shall take it, but take it in his avnet. Avnet is an article of kohen clothing, one of the four garments that a kohen wore. It had sanctity to it. The kohen himself would not directly touch it, but he would take the mouse in his avnet. And why, even though the avnet is now going to become tomei, shelo lishoises hatuma, divrei Rabbi Yochanan Broka, so as to avoid a situation where tuma is delayed, where tuma delays or tarries in the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, betzvas shel eitz, he says to use a wooden tongs, shelo lerabois es hatuma. We don't want the avnate of the kohen becoming tome, so that even though there might be time lost in searching for this wooden tongs, I prefer that approach than using the avnate, the mehemaino of the kohen, which is which would be the basis of increasing tuma. The tzvashelates, by the way, is under the category of pshute kliates. It's a type of wooden vessel that has no receptacle area, and as such, it does not become tome. So you're not making something tome by using the tzvas shel eitz. The next question: meheichon motzino? So, from what part of the Beis HaMikdash would you take it out? So the answer is min haheichal umina ulam umibeno ulam v'lemizbech divrei Reb Shimon ben Nanos. If it's in the heichal, that's the enclosed section of the Beis HaMikdash, where the holy vessels are located, the menorah and the shulchan and the mizbeach, and also from the ulam, the antechamber leading to the heichal, and from the area in the courtyard between the mizbeach and the ulam. That's Reb Shimon ben Anas' approach. However, from the rest of the courtyard, you won't remove it on Shabbos. All you will do is cover it and leave it there till Motzoi Shabbos. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Kol Mokom Shechayov Mazdoinu Kurz Shigusu Chatas Misham Motzian Oso. Any part of the Beis Hamikdash that, if someone were tame, would enter that area, and if he would do so knowingly, he would be Chayev Kores, and if he would do so unknowingly, he would be obligated to bring a sin offering. In simple words, Rabbi Akiva says the entire Azora is an area from which you would be expected to remove the dead mouse. So Rabbi Akiva includes more area than that of Rabbi Shimon ben Anas. The Mishnah continues, Ushar kol hamakomos, all the other areas. Now, when we say all the other areas, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Anas, it would mean the Azora. According to Rabbi Akiva, it would mean the offices that open into the Azora, but not the Azora. Some of those are the other places that what would the din be there? Koifin olov psachter. You take a pot and cover the sheretz until Motzoi Shabbos. You see something interesting here, by the way. There's a common saying that we've seen numerous times the last couple of dapim, ein shvus b'mikdash, that isurei d'rabbanan don't apply in the Beis HaMikdash. That is a phrase, but it has to be qualified. It's not a blanket phrase. Here you have an example of the movement of the dead sheretz does not involve any malacha, and yet you're not going to be removing it if it's from the, we'll call the non-sensitive places. You'll be leaving it there on Shabbos. Ah, but if you say ein shvus b'mikdash, there's no rabbinic prohibitions with regard to the Beis HaMikdash, you can carry it out from any part of the Beis HaMikdash. So, according to this, what we see here is that claim of ein shvus b'mikdash is something that's not an unqualified concept, but sometimes we apply it, and sometimes we say that there are shvusim in the Beis HaMikdash. And there are other examples, by the way. We continue. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Mokom shetiru loch chachomim mishelcho nosnu loch. This is a very vague expression, and we'll have to wait a Mirtz Hashem for the Gemara to explain it. Omar Rav Tovi Bar Kisna, Omar Shmuel. This sugya, we have a topic heading on the side, Hachnosas Tuma LeMikdash. The topic here is bringing something Tomei into the Mikdash. So Rav Tovi says, in the name of Shmuel, Hamachnis Aleph, Tomei Sheretz LeMikdash Chayav. If a person brings a vessel that became Tomei because it had contact with a Sheretz is an Av HaTuma, it's a primary level of Tuma, and it communicates Tuma to vessels. So if a person were to bring a vessel that became Tomei through contact with a Sheretz, he brings this Tomei vessel into the Beis HaMikdash, he is Chayav, he is considered in violation. Rashi says, Chayav Chatos B'Shogeg, and Koris Alzdono. The Grah comments on this, that this is a hard shot, hard thing to understand, but let us be diplomatic and simply say that if one brings a kli that became Tomei into the Beis HaMikdash, so he is in violation. Sheretz Atzmo, however, the Gemara continues, Potter. This is a type of irony. Namely, the sheretz itself, if a person brings a dead sheretz itself into the Beis HaMikdash, he will be exempt. So, in other words, bringing a lesser level of tumah item into the Mikdash, one would be chayev. Bringing the primary level item, in this case, here we're talking about the sheretz itself, he'll be potter my taima. What is the explanation for that? Omar Kro, well, the pasuk says, now this pasuk is in the context of extricating removing Tuma from the Beis HaMikdash. And what does the Pasuk say? It says, Mizochar v'ad nekeva tishalechu. literally, whether it be male or female, they shall, if they're tomei, be sent out of the Beis HaMikdash. What do we learn from this? Mi sheyesh lo tahara b'mikveh, someone who has the potential of achieving tahara in a mikveh, like a person who is tomei eventually can achieve tahara by going to a mikveh, he must be sent out when he is tomei. Yotza sheretz, to the exclusion of a sheretz sheino tahara. A dead sheretz is not something that can ever become tahor. Lema misayale, can we say the following supports Rav Tovi? The pasuk says, and this is a Tanaic source, it says, Mizochar ad nekeva teshalechu, prat likli cheres, divrei Rabbi Yossi Haglili, to the exclusion of an earthenware vessel that became tomei, that does not have to be taken out of the Beis HaMikdash. My time, why does an earthenware tomei vessel not have to be taken out? Lav mishum deles le taro b'mikveh. Is it not so? Because earthenware, when becoming tomei, does not have taro in a mikveh. That happens to be a rule concerning clay cheres. So we'd have a Tanaic source supporting Rav Tovi. In other words, clay cheres is being paralleled to the sheretz, both examples of something that don't have tahara in a mikveh, and those kind of things don't have to be taken out of the Beis HaMikdash when if they're found there. Lo, that's not the pshat. The kli cheres is excluded from the need for removal from the Beis HaMikdash is based on a different concept. Mishinas avatuma, the zohar and the keva can become an av hatumah. Imagine a person touches a corpse. He will become an av hatumah. So that sets the rule. Something that can become an av hatumah, it's a primary level of tumah. Yotza kli cheres, to the exclusion of earthenware vessels, she'eno nase av hatumah. In the rules of tumah and tahara, it should be noted and known that earthenware vessels can never achieve av hatumah status. So the Gemara continues, Lemo ketanoi, maybe we can say that Rav Tovi's din is a machloikas tanoim. And you see the triangle here, and a few lines later another one on the side under our Mivneh heading we've written. These are Shnei Nisyonois, two attempts, Lahamidinoi Sherav Tovi Bar Kisna, to set up Rav Tovi's din, she'ein isur hachnosa behachnosa sheretz atzmoi lazora, that the bringing in of an actual sheretz, of dead sheretz itself, is not a prohibition, and we want to set that up as kemachlokes tanoim, as a tanaic controversy. Well, let's see, and this is a long question. Lema ketanoi, sheretz shenimso b'mikdash, and a sheretz that's found in the Beis HaMikdash, Kohen motzio b'hemayno, shelolishos esatuma, divrei Rabbi Yochanan Broka, Kohen takes it out with his avnate, so as not to have tuma delay in the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yudah Omer, b'tzvas sheleitz, motzio shelolrabos esatuma. Of course, we saw this. This is a quote from our Mishnah. Rabbi Yudah says you use a wooden tongs to take it out so as not to make something else tomei as a result of contact with this dead sheretz. My lav b'hol kumiflig, is it not so that the following is the point of controversy? Demand omar shelo lishois, Rabbi Yochanan Broku says that we are concerned that tumah doesn't delay there. Kosovar, so he is of the opinion, Hamachnis Sheretz L'Mikdash Chayav, that one who would bring a dead Sheretz into the Beis HaMikdash would be in violation. And that's reflected in the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Broka saying, get it out as quickly as possible. Uman Yomar Shalom Rabbois, that's Rabbi Yehuda, who said that our concern here is not to increase Tumah by making other things Tomei. And as a result of that, even though it might tarry there because you have to spend time trying to find the wooden tongs and not use the avnet, which is readily available, well, he holds Kosovar Machnes Sheretz L'Mikdash Potter, that one who would bring it in initially is exempt, so that it's tarrying right now in the Mikdash is not so terrible. Look, that's not the pshat, but rather the Kule Almo Chayov. And everyone means Rabbi Yochanan Broka and Rabbi Yudah will say that to bring it in initially, everyone will say it is a violation, and that's against Rav Tovi. Rav Tovi said bringing the sheretz itself in initially is not a violation. So if everyone agrees it is a violation, v'hocha d'hocha miflegi. So here in the Mishnah, the machlokes Rabbi Yochanan broken, Rabbi Yehuda needs to be explained as follows. Mor sovar shehuye tumo odif. He holds that it's better to have the tuma delay. That would be Rabbi Yehuda holds it's better to have the tuma delay in the base of English than have something else become tome. Umor sovar afushe tuma odif. In the first opinion, Rabbi Yochanan Broka, who says take it out with the afne, says it's better to increase tuma, to have something else become tome, than have tuma tarry in the base of Mesa. Get it out as quickly as possible. Elo. Kehani tanoi, another attempt to set up Rav Tovi's din as a machlokes tanoim. Disnan, mehechon motzien oisoib. This also was in our Mishnah, the second part. We have an arrow to help you find it. From what part of the Mikdash do you take it out? So we saw a machloikis in the Mishnah. Here the Gemara doesn't print the whole quote from the Mishnah, but we had Shimon ben Nanas who says that you have to take it out of the Hechal of the Ulam, and the Bein Ulam is Bech, but not the rest of the Azorah. And Rabbi Kiva says you have to get it out of the rest of the Azorah as well. So my lav b'hokum miflegi. Is it not so that their machlokus is based on this? The man the Omar me Azora loy. Reb Shimon ben Anas says you don't have to bother getting it out of the Azora kosovar. He will hold hamachnis sheretz lemikdash poter. He will hold that if you bring it in initially, you would be exempt. That shita is like Rav Tovi. Oman diomer mikul Azora, and Rabbi Kibu says you got to get it out of all of the Azora kosovar. He holds chayov, unlike Rav Tovi, that it would be also to bring it in the first place. Contrary to Rav Tovi, so that we would say that Rav Tovi's din is a machloikis Rav Shimon Menanas Rav Kiva, only Rav Shimon Menanas holding like Rav Tovi. We continue at the top of Kuf Heyom at Aleph, and following Rashi's pshat in this sugya, Omar Rav Yochan is saying lo. In other words, everyone will agree that it's usur to bring it in initially. Now this, it's not in the words of the Gemara, but you can see this in the top line of Rashi, that everyone will disagree with Rav Tovi, Rav Shimon Menanos, and Rabbi Kiva, and they will hold that you cannot bring it in initially. So then, what is the basis of the machlokes, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon ben Nanos? Ushnehem mikro echod dorshu. They, it's ben Nanos, and Rabbi Akiva darshan the following pasuk, and each one coming up with their own conclusions. The pasuk says, "Vayavo hakonim lefnimo beis Hashem letaher." We should note, by the way, this pasuk is last four lines. This pasuk is describing the need to remove tuma. The tuma spoken about here is avodah zorah and other offerings made to idols that were removed from the Beis HaMikdash. And it says, "Vayavo hakonim lepnimo." They came into the Hechal Beis Hashem, the Hechal of the Beis HaMikdash, l'taher, v'yotziu es kol ha-tuma shemotzu b'hechal, b'hechal Hashem, l'chotzer, Beis Hashem. They took the tuma out of the Hechal, brought it into the courtyard, v'yikablu ha-leviyim l'hoitzi l'nachal kidron chutz, and the Leviyim took over at that point to take it out to the Kidron Valley. Mor sovar, Rav Shimon Menanos holds, mi de'ishtani ba'azor b'leviyim, from the fact that there was a change from the Kohanim to the Leviyim, tumo bazor aleka. That's a sign that there is no real pressing need to have tumo removed from the Azora. So that means that they were removing it. It wasn't, that pasuk is not featuring a Shabbos activity. But had it been on Shabbos, it would have been left in the Azorah. In other words, just get it out of the Hechal, the Ulam, the area between the Ulam and the Mizbech, but the rest of the Azorah would not be of concern. You can leave it there if it were talking about Shabbos. Umor Sovar, Ad Hechadolo Efshil Mavim. Rabbi Kiva says that up till now means up till the Azara, namely the Heichal and the Ulam, that's an area that Levim are not allowed to enter. So Ad Heicha de lo efshib Levim afki kehanim. All of the area that Levim can't enter, so Kohanim are expected to take it out. But now, once they reach the Azara where Levim can appear, so su lo mitami Kohanim, from this point on, we avoid having Kohanim become Tomei. However, says Rabbi Akiva, if it were Shabbos, it would not delay there in the Azara. Before we conclude our shiur, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.